Go Weekend's coming up. Anybody heard? I'm excited about it. I'm at that point where I'm like ready for it to be over. I don't know if anybody's ever planned anything and you kind of realize, wow, it's here. And so I'm ready to plan the next thing. But it's not happened yet, so I'm still super excited. I need really some prayer warriors to pray for good weather on Saturday because we had some outdoor things planned. So pray that rain away. Some of you are doing it already because the weather is changing, but I need you to keep doing it. The theme this year is Greater Than. And it's a video series that we're using in the homes from Francis Chan, and it's called Greater Than. And he talks about all from creation to death and purposes of death sometimes, and how God uses tragedy and how God uses things that are not the best things in our life to kind of bake into the cake. And it talks about salvation, super strong salvation. So when you were praying for us, if you pray around about 1 o'clock on Saturday, we're going to be showing that video. We're going to be giving an invitation. And it is a powerful, powerful video. So about between 12:30 and 1 o'clock, if you'll just pray for the Holy Spirit to draw the students that have not given their life to Him, that is when we're going to focus there. And then we're talking about our purpose in Christ and the freedom that we have in Christ. And it's just a greater than life. And so tonight, what I want to talk about is living a greater than life. And what does that look like? What does it look like? Because when I look sometimes at students, I wonder if they see the example of a greater than life when they look at us. I wonder if we are a good enough example of a greater than life. Greater than this world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says that, it's on the screen, I'm going to have to read it with you. But you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over these people. Because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. We don't live that way. I catch myself not living that way. I catch myself looking at my circumstances and thinking that my circumstances are greater than my need, my supply. It's greater than the amount, really the amount of faith that I have to make it through it. I don't want to live that way. When I read this, I just think, this is the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And I really truly believe that the reason that there's such a battle against the Holy Spirit, I mean, now it's morphed into a battle against Jesus. If you listen on the radio, they won't bleep cuss words, but they'll bleep Jesus sometimes. Because at the name of Jesus brings conviction. But man, when we start to talk about the Holy Spirit, that divides the church. That divides the kingdom. You get kicked out of certain places when you start to truly operate and believe in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it causes a lot of Christians in the kingdom to totally put the Holy Spirit in the back. And I think that's the exact reason that we are seeing a church that's living a less than life. That we are not seeing a church that has an impact in the culture or their community at all. We're seeing Christians who battle with no power. Because they take the power and they say, you know what, I'm uncomfortable with talking about this, so I'm just going to talk about Jesus. And that's great, we should talk about Jesus, but it's at the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you that is the power that gives you the greater than life. We have to talk about it. We have to educate. We have to live that life. And if you're scared to live that life, then you're just going to be complacent and live a less than life. And I'm here to tell you that you can do that. Teenagers, you can do that. God will let you live less than. And you will say, God's let me down, and I don't see a whole lot of things in the church. And and you'll look at other people that are living a powerful life, and you'll kind of find something to pick at that makes you feel better about what you're doing. But the truth is, the things that teenagers, and I'm just going to be real clear with adults in here, teenagers don't want to be weird. Like, you wouldn't think it by some of the clothes they wear and some of the way they do their hair and some of the stuff they listen to and the way they dance now, that stuff. You wouldn't think that they don't want to be strange. They don't want to be weird. But they don't want to stand out. That's why they're scrolling so much, trying to figure out what to look like and how the next person's dressing. If you could just be yourself. But you have to figure out who you actually are. I've been talking to them about this for maybe a year and a half. That's how long I've been here. That their true self is actually locked up in the person of Jesus. That he created them to be a masterpiece. He created us to be a masterpiece, but we're only that become that greater than masterpiece when we walk in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. A greater than life. I want my life to count. Listen, if there's something this generation, this upcoming generation, teenagers to 20-somethings, they want their life to count. They want their life to mean something. They really want it easy, but they want their life to count, okay? Some of them are willing to work for it, but some of them are like, make it easy for me. You know, if it can happen in 20 hours a week, that'd be great. Just saying. I have millennials that I'm raising. They want to matter. They want their life to count. And I just wonder if we fail them because we don't show them people that live a greater than life. That, yeah, we might be strange, and yeah, they might look at us and go, you know what, that's different. How can we become that? See, people were drawn and attracted to Jesus, and Jesus was different and strange. Jesus was the definition of weird. He was talking to the outcast. He was picking out the guy in the tree. He was touching the people that you're not supposed to touch. He was weird. He was different. He was powerful. If you look at John chapter 14, John knew about greater than. He knew what it was to have a greater than life. In John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Why is that? What unlocks the greater works? Teenagers, listen to me. Here's what unlocks the greater works for you. Jesus said, it's not me. I'm going to the Father. So you can be clear, it's not Jesus. Jesus gave you a gift. And that gift was access to the Father, who then gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you can make the greater than life happen for you and for your friends, for your family. It's nothing to be afraid of. And it's very scary because it's different. What are his works? The Baptist in me sees works and goes straight to Mark 16 and like, stepping on serpents and spiders. No, it doesn't say that, but I was thinking about Samantha. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Samantha. Her office was filled with plastic spiders today. Welcome to Abba's house, a house of grace and spiders. Perfect love casts out fear, Samantha. So, oh man. What are his works? We always think about the miracles first. I know that I do, and I assume you do too, because I assume you're like me. I always think about his miracles. I always think about the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. I always think about Judas. Now, wait a minute. Lazarus. He didn't really do much for Judas. He gave him a kiss, but that was it. Lazarus. I might should have studied some. Like raising him 4 days stinketh. I think about that kind of thing. I think about the guys that are out there doing the healing ministry where they actually have seen legs grow out and arms grow out and things happen just in a miraculous, ridiculous, God, you can't deny it kind of way. I'm going to be honest, I've seen some things, but I've never seen anything like that. I think it may be that I've never put myself in a position for that. But I've never seen anything like that. I think that God can meet any need, and if we ever run into a need like that, and God wants to show his glory through that, then he can do it. I also think about the healing that he did, the teaching, the healings, where he just, the woman that had the issue of blood just touched his garment, just got close enough where the glory just changed her life. That's greater than living, where people get just close enough to you, where they can get close enough to something that changes their life. Everywhere Jesus went, there were crowds of people. He wasn't off-putting people. Listen to me. Jesus was not off-putting. He was attractive to people. They wanted to be near him. When he walked away from them, he didn't say, "Did you see what she had?" Sincere to your face, but then backstab you from the back. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Everything he did was totally sincere. I'm not saying church people do that. I'm just saying. I've seen a lot of people, me included, that just should shut it every now and then. Not good enough just to be funny sometimes. That's just for me. But think about Jesus' teaching. Here's one of the things that I think about. Man, Jesus had compassion on people. That was one of his works. Jesus loved people. And if you look in chapter 14 of John, that's one of the things that unlocks the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that unlocks the threefold cord that's stronger than anything else when the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all with you, making their home with you, is when you obey his commandments, and that's to love people. And when I think about one of the greater things that Jesus did, he loved people. He just loved them. Openly, radically, and to their face. And to the Pharisees, he loved them enough to not just accept them, because what they were doing was wrong. I think it's weird that Jesus loved sinners and rebuked Pharisees. I think it's weird. Because weren't the Pharisees sinners? We know that now. But they were the religious people of the day back then. And Jesus was proving a point. What you're doing is not right. You're making it hard for people to get to me because of who you are and how you are. You're not living a greater than life, and you're not leading anybody else to live that way. And the truth is, they just didn't have the capability. Like, we can look down on the Pharisees, but they just didn't have the capabilities to do it. They did not have the Holy Spirit. All they had was the law, and they loved the law. When something come to challenge the law, they hated it. Why? Because they loved the law. Jesus was accepting. He was forgiving. If you keep looking, he says, I'm going to give you a gift. Verse 27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. My peace I leave with you. I don't know about you, but I need the greater than peace. I need that peace. I need that peace that can change the worst day of your life. When some people would say that you're in shock, but you just know that something is greater than that's living on the inside of you, that's making the worst day of your life to this point. A day you can get through. And I'm here to tell you that that is the testimony of a greater than life. When you can stand and you can see that God has a purpose and a plan for even the worst days of your life. We've got to get to there. And I think this is how we get there. I think we get there because we just understand that living a life of love and forgiveness unlocks the presence of God. So that in the day that you get a call that you might have cancer, that your life doesn't fall apart. Or you get a call that you've lost someone that's dear to you, that your life doesn't fall apart. Or you've got a bill that you don't know how in the world you're gonna pay it. Or if you're in the eighth grade, the person you said you were gonna be forever with 3 weeks later is not with you anymore. Listen, I laugh at that and we laugh at that, but at some point we have to remember that in our 12 and 13 and 14 year old years, sometimes that was the most tragic thing that's ever happened to us to that point. You just have to remember that, and it's funny, and some of y'all are like, that ain't funny. You will look back at those things and say, they were so goofy to dump me in 3 weeks, because I have blossomed. Parents, have conversations with your kids about peaks, about maturity and how maturity kind of helps you. Yeah, you know what I mean? Y'all all look different one of these days. Similar in the face right here, but that's it. You look totally different other ways. Just give it some time. But the Holy Spirit will get you through those things. And so what do you do? How do you get there? What do we do? What do we do to get that? See, that's the big question for me. That's why I think I wanted to show the video on legacy. Not because we took a legacy 2020 offering and it was awesome. Not because Pastor Ronnie was getting up and this is where Pastor Ron used to preach and all. Not because of that. But because what we're doing today is legacy. Go Weekend is gonna at one point be a time in somebody's life that they look back and go, my life has never been ever the same since Go Weekend. And I tell you, one of the hardest things for me is to remember when I didn't know all that I know. to remember in 1998, 1999, when I was sitting in a pew right over here, and Pastor Ron's up here just preaching. Charles Carr and Aunt Karen's actually up here preaching about the power of the Holy Spirit. Likened it to plugging a vacuum cleaner into a 220 outlet and it just don't know what to do with itself and falls out and stuff. That helped my Baptist mind, I'm just telling you. And I'll never forget Pastor Ron, he was up there. Let me tell you, if we don't know you, there's a lot of weird people here then. Thank goodness we've got that straightened out. I'm kidding. Weird definition, go look it up, it'll make you feel better about being weird. It's regarding something supernatural, so if you feel weird, that's good. So I'm sitting there and Pastor Ron says, if we don't know you, don't touch anybody. And there was a pretty good crowd at the altar. And I had interviewed prior to Fresh Old New Wine, and they decided to go a different way, and that's fine. But I was sitting back there, and he said, Seth, come up here. And I was Southern Fried Baptist. I'm going to tell you, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but didn't really know anything about it. And I came up, I was sitting or standing right, I don't even know because the stage is different, but I was close, and they had all the line trash cans and stuff back then, you know. It was like having it to the left of me. He's like, what in the world's going on? So I just kind of prayed, and this man came to me. He was probably in his 70s, and I was like 20-something, 25. So he comes forward, and he comes up to me, and he's looking me dead in the eye, and I just closed my eyes. And all I say is, touch him, Jesus. And he disappeared, and I opened my eyes, and there he was, and I was like, yes! I don't know what just happened, but I loved it. It was a gift. I didn't have a gift, but God gave me a gift, and he gave me and it wasn't the gift of laying hands on that man, him falling out. It was a gift to help me to understand that none of this was me. It was all him. And all I had to do was stand up in front of people, have the boldness to come forward when the man of God said that he trusted me, and just do what God said. And it was a greater than moment in my life. Now, the next day was not such a greater than moment because I went back to my church, my first Baptist Piedmont, preached on the power of Jesus, had about 80-something kids in there, and laid hands on about 20 of them and resigned to the next Sunday. You know, it's kind of like, well, okay. Thanks, Jesus. Woo! So I called Pastor Ron. Hey, got fired, man. Let's see if I can find you a church, brother. It doesn't have to happen that way. To me, the greater than is to be able to look at somebody and just love you. Look past all the other stuff. Just love you. That's me. You're something else, maybe. Because what God has done for me, the greater than for my life is this. I know who I am. I know why I'm here. And if I stay there, then God can continuously use me over and over and over again. Not in the real wild, powerful way, but just in a way that's greater than. And so tonight, what I'd love for us to do is I'd love for you to just pray. I mean, we're at Abba's house. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in everything that God has in the Bible. We believe it. We look for it. I fully agree with what Pastor Ron said Sunday, that there's something, one of the transitions from this building to that building was a hunger. Because when I came here in 1999, there was a hunger here to know more of God and to know more about the Holy Spirit and to grow and to teach. And I don't think we've changed that, but I think we've gotten comfortable with it. I think we may have gotten a little complacent with it. And the truth is, our children have grown up inoculated with the Holy Spirit. And if you understand what the word inoculated means, it means that they've seen and been around it to the point where they're immune to the touch and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when they come, nothing is strange to them. But it still doesn't move them. And I think one of the reasons is because God wants to move this generation in a different way. I think God wants to move this generation through their heart. Because this generation there's a mean generation. And it's not that they're outwardly mean, they're just me focused. They're just so personal about me. And what happens is we neglect other people. And they only fit if they do something for me. And I'm telling you, that's where the Holy Spirit, where you really see what the Holy Spirit's doing, it's going to be because you see a teenager that is a servant, their lives have changed and they're loving people. And if you're raising one of those, thank God for that, because they are living that greater than life. And I want you to pray that God would use each and every one of these teenagers in the way that he created them to be. And that they, listen, if I'm out of fault for anything, it's not for going over tonight. If I'm at fault for anything, it's this. I don't push enough. I don't push because I don't want these teenagers, I don't want Sophia Craig or John Michael JQs or any of the rest of them to feel like I've manipulated them into anything. My job is not to train them to act a certain way. I feel like my job is to show them a certain way. And to show them a different way. And to let them find their way in that. And if I'm at fault in anything, it's that I've been a little too lax in saying, some of you are going to be the ones that are more outward. You are going to be the ones that are laying hands on the sick and they recover. You are going to be the ones that do the things that I will never, ever do. Because you are wired for you. And so what I want is this weekend to be where we just live that greater than life. We believe that Jesus is greater than everything in this world. And that he created you and you and all of you in his image. And the reason he did that is because the only way that you could do the same thing he did is if you were built like him. One of the things that I think about all the time is Genesis chapter 1, where he says that he made them in his image, male and female, he created them. And now there's something like 7 billion people on the earth, almost close to 8 billion people on the earth, and not one person is the same. Not one. And one of the things that's changed the way I see people is the fact that it could it be that it takes 8 billion of us to make up the full and complete image of God. And that when you're looking at somebody and you might be judging them for whatever they're doing, you are looking at a part of the image of God. And I'm going to tell you something, that changed the way I look at things. It changed the way I look at the homosexual lifestyle. When you love one, when they're in your family, what do you do with that? You know what you do? You become Jesus to them. And when I helped a young lady fly from Nicaragua, El Salvador actually, from El Salvador, we actually flew her in on a medical visa to give a kidney to her brother. This company I was working for flew her in on a medical visa. She donated a kidney to her brother whose kidneys had failed on the Coyote Trail as he was getting here illegally. This dude worked hard and he went to dialysis 3 days a week and his veins were all jacked up and he was an awesome guy and he loved his kids. And I talked to him about the Lord, and he loved Jesus. And I love that guy. And it changed the way I see stuff, man. It changes the way you see stuff when you love people. And I'm like, Jesus, why are you showing me these things? And he's like, I know every one of them. And I love them. And if we can't get to the point where we start to see people and as Jesus sees people, and yeah, there's economic things and blah-de, blah-de, blah, blah, blah. God is sovereign, and he's bringing people to this country so that we can love them. He's bringing people to this country so we can love them. He's been doing it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And how they get here, man, that is a mess, and some of it's a real mess. But you know what? We got to love people. We got to get past all the stuff and love people. And so, but you can't do that unless you're living that greater than life. You can't do it unless you're living through the Holy Spirit, because you just don't have the capability, because you see through the world's eyes. And it's the saddest thing for me to see people who have the DNA of Christ that don't live through the Holy Spirit, because you're living a less than life. And you're always conflicted, and nothing seems to ever make sense to you because you just can't make it work. That was the hardest thing, to live a Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, it's a real hard thing. Practically impossible. And if you think you might be slipping on it, go read John chapter 14. And here's what he says. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will come, and my Father will come, and we'll make our home with you. We'll abide with you. And then you won't have to love out of your own depravity, quite honestly. You just love out of the ones that are living with you. That's what I want so desperately for all these kids. That's what I want for them. For them to just grab it. For you to understand that Jesus loves you that much. To give you somebody that will constantly love you. And the trick is this. The way that you feel the most love is you give the most love away. God's economy is so strange. The more you give away, the more he gives back. So tonight, just I want all the students to stand up. No adults, just all students. If you're a student, you're participating in Go Weekend, I want you to just stand up wherever you're at. All of y'all, even Mary. I'm just playing Mary. Mary's like, what? You just said my name out loud? And so they're like everywhere. I think there's even some in the back. Some up there hiding out. Some way up there. I hope y'all been listening, not talking this whole time. So look around. There's students everywhere. And as the band comes, I just want you to kind of pick out one or two. And then connect your heart to them a little bit. If you need to stand up to do that, you can. They've stood up long enough. If you need to stand up to kind of connect your heart, if you want to stand up and move and kind of get close, you can do that. I think that'd be cool, actually. Or not. It's all good. And I wasn't going to say anything. And good grief, here I go. There's people in here, this is their worst sleep of their life. There's a couple of guys in here that I love absolutely dearly. And I've connected with them. And guys, y'all know who I'm talking about. I don't think Jonathan does because he's talking. Adam and Jonathan. I just want you to know that I've never been in a situation like I was with y'all this week. And I was so sad. And I didn't know what to say. And I thought it was up to me, man, to say the right thing. I'm the pastor. And I ended up not having to say much. Because the Holy Spirit had beat me to the place. The Holy Spirit was there and He was providing a peace that was at a level that I have not seen in a long, long time. And it was not shock, it was peace. Desperately to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to where you know that He's with you at all times so that you can stand on days that are the worst. And so while some of our lives this week haven't quite went like we wanted, some of our lives are drastically different. Man, if we can't get to where we get that and try to connect our hearts to each other when we're in a worse place, and we're doing that here at Abba's house, we're doing that. Let's keep going. This community is so desperate for just some of us to just stop and say, listen, you're supposed to be with us because we need you and you need us, and come on, let's live that greater than life together. And I've been telling these students kind of on the sly because we don't record anything or really put anything out. I want y'all to know that I've been telling the students this. And I've told her, Pastor Ronnie also, but we're going to lead this. We're going to lead this live free and fully alive. We're going to lead this love people where they're at. We're going to lead this greater than life. We're going to be an example in our young age. There's no chance that it's not going to happen. So I'm putting you on the spot right now. Jesus made you, saved you where you're at so that you would be different where you're at. And if where you are there is no difference because of you, you're not living the full life that you should. So if you would just stretch your hands toward these students. There are students behind you too, so look around. We've got a few that are coming. We've got about 100 and there's about 140 people total that's involved in the weekend. And so I just want to thank you, Abba's House, for making it available. Some of you, you know, you give and we use that and God's getting glory from it. Pray for our leaders and our counselors and our speaker, Daniel Sheshi, and Area 4 band. Pray for these students. Pray that God will touch them right where they are so that they will live a greater than life. And while you're doing that, I want you to understand this. When you do something for someone else, God sees it. And I'm just going to pray that as you give out of yourself toward these students, that God will fill you full, fresh and anew with His Holy Spirit, and help you get through the days that you're going through too. So if you've got a need, just know that you give your prayers and your love to these students. And I believe God will see it. I also want to say this. The ultimate goal of this life is not this life. And we need to live our lives that way. We need to live our lives understanding that at some point we will go into heaven. We will go into an eternity. And I want to get there and I want to hear well done. And I believe on Monday there was a well done. And I just know that God was pleased. Give your life away and live a greater than life. Let's pray. God, thank you for what you do for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and filling us full and giving us the power to live a free life, a life that's fully alive, that we can love others as Jesus did, that we can see miracles happen. We can see healing happen. God, we can see freedom happen. We can see bondages broken. That we can have compassion outside of ourselves. That we thank you for putting us in this community, for this community, to this community, through your name. And we claim this community right now through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We claim that we at Central Baptist Hickson, at Abba's House, at Tar Paper Church, God, we're here in this city, in this community, so that you can draw people to us, so that we can give out and live our greater than life and live it for others, so that you can give it back to us. God, help us to be passionate. Help us to be loyal. Help us to be faithful to you. God, I pray for this weekend. God, I thank you so much for all the work that's gone in. I thank you so much that this work that's been done is so selfless and so giving, that there is such a compassion and such a heart of love for these teenagers in this community, that we are doing a thing just for them. And And God, as we do that and we start to unfold what is greater than life, that they have made greater than, that you show them you're greater than, that Jesus, you walked on this earth greater than any other man, and you give us the capabilities to do the same and even greater. Help us to walk in that. Help us to build our confidence, to love people, to trust that in your economy, that when we give away, we actually receive. God, I pray that if there's one that does not know you, that they would see you in us, that they would hear you in our songs, that they would hear you in our message, that they would feel you in this place, and that they would give their life to you this weekend. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift the Holy Spirit. Help us to never look at it as a burden, to never look at the Holy Spirit as an afterthought or an embarrassment or an uncomfortable situation, but that we would see you, Holy Spirit, as the compassionate guide, convictor, leader, the one that helps us to love. And promote you throughout our city. We love you right now. Bless this weekend.